Take Bibles, please, and turn over to the book of Revelation, and we're going to look at Revelation chapter 20. Most of our time tonight is going to be in Revelation chapter 21, but we're going to start out by looking at the last part of Revelation chapter 20. You know, we've got some bad things that are happening in our world today. And one of the things that I'll sometimes say to myself, well, one day God is going to set things straight. One day all things are going to be made new. One day He's going to right the wrongs and justice is going to flow when the Lord Jesus returns. So that's one thing we think about. But another thing that can happen from time to time is where you and I are going along and we may be dealing with people that are going through various difficulties. And sometimes we may look at them and we may look at their situation and we may say something to them like, you know, it will get better. It will get better. And the thing that we can always say if we're dealing with the Christian, that one day it will truly get better. There's going to be a day for the Christian that all the tears are going to be wiped away, that everything's going to be set right, and everything you might say is going to be okay. And so that's what we're going to look at tonight, is on that day. We don't know. It could be a few days from now. It could be a few years from now or a few decades from now or a few hundred years from now. It really doesn't matter. As soon as you die, that day has become pretty close for you. And so one of the things we can know is it's a day that is coming. It is set out there and it's going to happen. And we want to be ready for that particular day. The first thing we know about this particular day is, though, that this is going to be a different day where the infection of evil is going to be destroyed. And so I want you to start out there in Revelation chapter 20, and I want you to scroll down and look at verse 11 at that particular aspect of that day. Then I saw, verse 11 says, a great white throne, and in Him who was seated on it, from His presence earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And the books were opened. And then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. That verse 14 is what I want you to focus on. The dead, the death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. That infection that has come upon our world was thrown, or is on that day, it is thrown into the lake of fire and it ends. Some of you have struggled with an infection. Some of you know a couple of weeks ago I had an infection. I went home, I took a nap, I thought I was going to get better. I drank cranberry juice. I don't know why the doctor made fun of me when I told him that. He said that wasn't going to do anything for you. He said nothing was going to help you until you got rid of that infection. And that took X, this particular type of medication, and I don't care what you drank. He was giving me a lecture. I don't care how big the nap was that you took. There was nothing going to be done. There was no way this was going to happen until you took this medication and you left. He was angry because I didn't go ahead and come over to see him. That's what it was. And so his point was, you can't get rid of an infection that way. And so one of the things you and I have to think about is we've got fires out in California, and they call them the hot shots, right, that go around and they try to put the fires out, and we have those tankers that try to put them out, and we're really kind of containing something, but it's an infection that this world has. This world was infected by sin when Adam and Eve sinned, and that is passed down to this day, and until that infection is removed, this world is going to struggle. We struggle with the hurricanes that struck Texas and Florida and later Puerto Rico. We struggle with all kinds of situations and problems, whether it be a disease that you might have or something that happens with the weather. And this whole world is cursed with an infection of evil that will not be removed until the day that you and I read about there. Now, this day is not just described here in the book of Revelation. It's also described elsewhere. Over in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 8, verse 21, the Bible says that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. And so that passage is saying, when Adam and Eve sinned, this creation of ours was cursed. And so the creation is secretly groaning, and the creation is looking forward to the day you read about in Revelation 20 when this curse is removed. In Romans chapter 8, verse 22, he describes it there as well. And he says, and we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. We mentioned a moment ago Carrie having the baby. We actually talked about that in our Sunday school class this morning. And when someone has a baby, there's pain and there's struggle until the baby actually is born. And so he's saying this is the same as with the creation. This creation of ours, the oceans, he's talking about the mountains, he's talking about the land, it groans and it's in pain, and it's looking forward to the day when all that pain will end, and it's on the day that's described there in Revelation 20 and also 21, where he talks about the pain that the world sees. Now let's scroll over and look at Revelation 21 for a minute. And notice the first thing John writes in verse 1 is that he saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and the sea was no more. So the first thing we see from this passage is that not only on that day will death be done away with, will the curse be obliterated, but on that day there's going to be a new heaven and there's going to be a new earth. How many of you like new things? You like new cars, you know they've got a new smell. Good, these three here do. You know, that you like new clothes, you know. We like new things that no one has worn or no one has driven in, or, you know, there's just something about something new. And so he says here, there's going to be a new heaven and there's going to be a new earth. So he says, the first heaven and the first earth have passed away. So this earth we've got now, it's going to pass away. And he says, the sea is going to be no more. The sea is representing, you know, it's something about death and so forth. And then he says, and I saw in verse 2, the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So first off, remember, this is not the only place in the Bible that describes this particular day. Over in 2 Peter, the scripture says this, it says in verses 12 and 13, we're waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God. So he's too talking about this day that's described in Revelation 20 and chapter 21. Because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. So he's saying there's going to be a day when the Lord destroys this earth. And then he goes on and says in verse 13, but according to his promise, we are waiting for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So exactly what is that going to be like? We can't really say for sure. There are some people that will have charts and tell you exactly how it's going to be, but I'm always a little skeptical. What I can say to you is there's going to be a new heaven and there's going to be a new earth, and the old one is going to have passed away. And I'll also say to you, it's not just in the New Testament that you see this written about. In Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17, he writes, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. And so this is a mixing here of some of what you see in Revelation 21. There's going to be a new heaven, he says. There's going to be a new earth. And then he just jumps to it. The former things will not be remembered, or they're not going to come to mind. One of the reasons that we may like a new car is because the old car had some dents in it, where we had backed into a tree or any number of other things, you know, or it's got memories that are associated with it. It's all new, and so the bad memories are gone from the mind. It's different. So you keep on going, you go back to Revelation 21, and he says, I saw this. John saw it with his own eyes. He saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, and it was prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So what is so special about this place? It's so special because God is dwelling there with his people. Look in verse 3. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God." And so what we see is what's special about this place is you've got the Lord there with you, and He's there. Many of you know that Mackenzie is home from college. We are glad she's home from college. We want her to progress and grow in her life and all. But there's something nice about having your whole family under the roof, you know. So when you've got everyone home for a couple of days, there's just something neat about that. There's something nice about that. One of the reasons we miss loved ones who passed on is because we miss being in their presence and them being around us. And so what he's telling us is that one of the special aspects, the most special aspect of heaven is going to be the presence. Presence of the Lord. He is there, and He will always be there. And by the way, this is something that He had promised to us. Over in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, we read about the Messiah, Jesus, coming. "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call His name Emmanuel," and we know that means God with us. And so when Jesus was here on this earth, it was God, He was with us, but Jesus suffered for our sins and He ascended into heaven, and we don't see Him as they did some 2,000 years ago, but when you're there on this day, you will see Him again and you will be there with Him. Matthew chapter 1, he described this, and he says the virgin, he's quoting this passage, and he's saying this is what's so special about this. This is what we're celebrating at Christmas, that God Himself was with us. But again, He ascended to heaven. But on this day that we read about in this passage in Revelation, it's telling us that we will always be with Him and we will be with Him forever. You remember the Old Testament passages in Leviticus where it says, "I will make my dwelling place among you." And so the Lord said, "All right, I want you first of all to set up tabernacles," and you set up all the tents around. And it's a reminder of the people that God is dwelling with you. And later they built the temple. And it's a reminder that God is here among you. All of those were pointing to the day when God is with us forever. And we're with Him there in heaven. And He is always there with us. "I will walk among you, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people." He does that now in our hearts, but one day we will see it as we're there with Him in heaven. And so he says that here in Revelation chapter 21. In the last part of that, he says, God Himself will be with them as their God. But then there's the part that we really look forward to, where all the tears are wiped away. And he says this in verse 4. "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. The former things have passed away." And so as painful as this life may be, there is going to be a day where the Lord's going to take all these folks that are there in heaven, and there will be some difficulties there when you see the judgment that's described there in chapter 20. But then it's going to be done. The Lord's going to wipe all the tears away. There's going to be no more death. It's all going to end. And so if you're a Christian, you can look forward to that day. There won't be any more pain. There won't be any more sorrow. It will all go away. But I also think it's important to remember this is not the only place where the Bible says there will be a time where all tears are going to be wiped away. Again, we go back to the book of Isaiah. And in Isaiah chapter 25, he says he will swallow up death forever. So he's saying there's going to be a day when God is going to swallow up death forever. And the Lord will wipe away tears from all faces. And the reproach of His people He will take away from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. So he's describing what Jesus is going to do. He's describing this day that we see here in Revelation chapter 21. A little bit later in the book of Isaiah, he says this, and I think this is a wonderful description. In chapter 65, he says, "I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and I will be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress." And he says, you know the sound when someone passes away. You know the sound when someone's experienced a great loss. There is going to be a day where that will be wiped away and it will happen no more. Then he describes it in verse 20. No more shall it be that an infant who lives for just a few days, nothing sadder. And so he says that's going to be done. That's not going to happen anymore after the event of Revelation 21. And then he says, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die in 100 years and so forth. So he says that's going to be done. There's no more premature deaths. There's no more accidents. All these things are over. All of these things have passed away. And so we can look forward to that day. And we can know that it's out there in the future. And also we know on that day that all of the things are going to be made new. He talks about this in verse 5. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. No more suffering, no more broken down things, no more pain. Everything's new. And he said, write this down. For these words are trustworthy and true. This is going to happen. We talk from time to time about Sigmund Freud, the atheistic psychologist. And he's a fellow that was quite upset later in his life. He had a daughter that died, and later he had a grandchild. The grandchild of that daughter died as well. And he complained, or actually he said, you know, it's a terrible thing. He said, I have no one to complain to. I don't believe in God. There's nothing I can do. But this fellow who had looked at us, who had faith and said, you guys, you use religion as a crutch, actually admitted what a terrible, sorry state it was to have no crutch in the state of losing a daughter and losing a grandchild. He was there with no one to complain to, as he put it. He was there with no one to comfort him as well. And so what you see is that we see in this passage that it's not like Freud said. He said, actually, I wish I could see religion as a crutch. I wish I could believe these things that aren't true. Well, that's just the point. They are true. It is true that there's going to be a day when all the tears will be wiped away. There will be a day where all things are made new and none of this bad stuff exists again. There's also going to be a day when it is just done. It is all done. In verse 6, he writes, and he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. So it is done. When you read that statement, what is it that comes to your mind? I'll tell you what comes to my mind. That point where Jesus was on the cross and he said, it's finished. In other words, it's over. The payment for their sins is done. This is it. There's no more of this suffering. There's no more of this debt for sin that hasn't been paid. So it's finished, he said. In this particular position, he says, it is done. The suffering is done. The pain is done. The mourning is done. The funerals are done. It's all over with. And he says to the thirsty, I give from the spring of water of life without payment. And his point is, people who can't pay, you know, no one can pay. He says, I give to these folks. I provide for them. We mentioned this passage here on Wednesday night from Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no mercy, come, buy, and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And we mentioned on Wednesday night, try that at the Harris Teeter. Try that at McDonald's. Try that at, well, you know, you get the point. Go in and try to get food or try to get something without payment for. And it's rare that that's going to happen. And so what he says is, I realize you can't pay. I realize you can't pay the price for your sins. But I have paid it for you. And I say to everyone who is thirsty, everyone who is hungry, I say everyone who has need, I say come to me. And he's saying he will take care of that. This is Isaiah talking about what Jesus would do. And in chapter 21 of Revelation, we see it is done. It has been taken care of. Verse 7, the one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. The one who conquers is Jesus, who conquered death, number one, by dying for our sins, and number two, by rising from the grave. Verse 8, but as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Everyone doesn't enjoy this day. The people who have not placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a most terrible day for them. They end up going to an eternal hell. And so he makes it clear, this is only true for those who have placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only true for those who have trusted in him and follow him. It's a terrible day for those who have not put their faith in him. And then came one of the seven angels, and he had seven bowls full of seven last plagues. And he spoke to me, saying, come, and I will show you the bride. I will show you the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain, and he showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and all the gates, and on all the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. So he's telling us this is a safe place. Number one, it's a beautiful place, but number two, it's a safe place. And so he's telling us it's got it's made of crystal, it has jasper, it has rare jewels. But then also when he talks about this high wall, he's talking about it being a safe place, a place where you're protected, where there's no more suffering, there's no more fear, there's no more difficulty. He goes on in verse 13, he says, and on the east gates, on the north three gates, and on the south gates, and on the west three gates, and the wall of the city, it had the 12 foundations that were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. As you keep going in this passage, you realize that this is the most beautiful of all places. Verse 15, the one who spoke with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and its walls. The city lies 4 square, and its length the same as its width. And he measured the city with his rod, 12,000 stadia, its length and its width and its height are equal. He also measured its wall, 144 cubits by human measurement, which is also an angel's measurement. The wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, and the fourth emerald, and the fifth onyx, and the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jasonite, the 12th amethyst, and the 12 gates and the 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. So whatever it looks like, and it's even impossible, I think, to describe or imagine, it is a beautiful place. You thought about, I mentioned this morning Wyatt, and I mentioned his girlfriend. She's down doing doing the work there at Disney World. And Disney World's a wonderful place. It seems like it's clean. It seems like there's all these nice things. Nothing, though, in this world is anywhere close to what it looks like in that world and what it will be on that day when we get there. Verse 22, I saw no temple in the city. And initially, people are a bit shocked by that. But then he tells us why. For its temple is the Lord God Almighty, the Lamb. In other words, he's there. He's with you. He's among you. Verse 23, the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. There's no darkness there. Darkness is a symbol of sin. Darkness is a symbol of sadness. Now, in our present state, we can't deal with 24 hours of sunlight. You know, it's hard for us to do. They do it in Alaska from time to time, but they struggle. It's a little bit of a difficulty for them. But we'll be able to deal with it then because we'll be different. And he's telling us there's no night. It's nothing but day. By its light, verse 24, will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and the gates will never be shut by day. There will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so this is a place for those who have placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not perfect to get there. You've just accepted the gift that God has given you. God then redeems us, and then God brings us there. We'll have different kinds of bodies. We'll be different folks, different kind of, we'll be different. We'll no longer be tempted to sin. All of that infection is completely removed. It will be a perfect, and it will be a wonderful place. And so from time to time, we deal with all kinds of difficulties. They come not when we're really ready for it, not when we're really looking toward it. And we find ourselves sometimes needing comfort ourselves or trying to comfort someone else. We can tell people, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, there is a day coming where all the tears are going to be wiped away. All things are being made new. There'll be no more night, there'll be no more pain, there'll be no more sickness, there'll be no more sorrow. That is a day that is at some point out there in history or somewhere out there in the future, and it's coming. And you can know it's coming. You can know it for sure. So we look forward to that day. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for how you have prepared a place for us that we can go to. And one day there will be no more suffering there. There will be no more struggling. There will be no more pain. We thank you, Lord, for how you loved us enough, first of all, to send your Son to die for us, to make a way for us to have salvation if we place our faith in you. And we thank you, Lord, also for the comfort we can have, knowing that one day, if we placed our faith in you, we can be in that place forever. No more struggles, no more difficulty there. We'll be okay as we're with you one day. Help us, Lord, to comfort one another with those words, and help us to comfort others with that truth, and help them to find the only true hope that can come from you. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray, and we ask these things. Amen.